Well, this morning we're being joined by Liz Ripley. She's a conservation and cover crop outreach specialist with Iowa State University Extension and the Iowa Learning Farms, and they've got another event here coming up we'll talk about here in a moment. Thanks for joining us this morning, Liz.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, you've got an event coming up here on February 15th, just down the road here from Atlantic at the Wallace Learning Center here near Lewis, with an opportunity for folks to learn a little bit more about cover crops and some of those perennial vegetation items that can maybe be a little bit more of an addition there to plan every year for farmers here in the area. And you've got that coming up again on the 15th.
Yeah, so it's going to start at 10 a.m. We're going to kick off the discussion then, and it does include a complimentary lunch. So we're hoping folks can join us to learn a little bit more about how maybe they could incorporate perennial vegetations into their operation, whether it's, you know, as food or bedding for livestock, or maybe they're looking at from a wildlife standpoint and hunting, or possibly just areas of the field that they know are historically low producing and are just tired of maybe throwing money at inputs and not getting much of a return. So it's going to be a great opportunity to discuss not only with our experts that are going to be there, which are two representatives from Iowa State, but also with each other in the neighborhoods, kind of get a feel for what's working, what's not, and really get an opportunity to ask those questions of each other and our presenters.
Yeah, that's always, of course, valuable when you can get together and share knowledge and what has worked for some may have not worked for others, or, you know, kind of share those stories and see what is happening here in their local area with their next door neighbors, and kind of maybe gives them that better jumping off point if they're thinking about doing something or wanting to expand a little bit further.
Exactly. So, you know, what might work in the Atlantic area might not work up, you know, near Decorah or something like that. So having these local events, we're happy to be back in person for these to offer the opportunity to have those discussions and learn from each other, as well as Matt Woods, who works for the Department of Agronomy here at Iowa State, and David Bruhn, who's our actual beef farm manager at Iowa State, to have that conversation, whether they have livestock or row crops or both.
Yeah, and when we talk about what is beneficial on the farm, you mentioned a couple of different ways that maybe the perennials can be implemented to benefit you, and one of those you mentioned there is livestock feed. I guess, how are you seeing, and what kind of trends have you seen that are things that work out there that do correlate with that?
So, yeah, we've got a couple partners as part of this project that have livestock and have seeded some, in their case, prairie perennial vegetation. And so they're both, one of them is actually going to be grazing it. So they've got it fenced in and they're turning the cattle out on it. And the other one is harvesting it more for forage. So they're going out and they're, you know, mowing it off and baling it and bringing it in. So there's a couple different ways that these perennial vegetation areas on the farm could be utilized. So whether or not they have fencing and water already in place, or at least nearby, that they can convert these areas and better utilize them, or potentially consider them as an additional hay and forage space to capture that. And maybe it's something as simple as bedding too. You know, if you've got cattle in a lot or poultry or something like that, and you're looking for a nice bedding for them to lay down on, especially in the cold times like this, it's a good idea to consider this perennial vegetation as well.
We're always all about efficiency and finding new ways that we can, you know, make the land work for us and make, you know, what we're doing work best for the land at the same time. And I guess this is kind of the same idea there. You're using that little piece of land that, like you said, maybe hasn't been that productive for you in the past, or you just haven't, you know, really found the right thing to put there. It's a way to divert that into helping out another part of the operation that's ultimately going to make you a little bit more profitable. And I guess, you know, for everybody, that's always kind of the idea.
Exactly. So every farmer knows their farm fields better than, you know, any expert that could come in and advise them, because they see it every year and their planter set up or their combine. They know which areas do well and which ones don't, or maybe which ones are just kind of a pain in the butt to get the machinery in and out of. So we're not talking about converting whole fields to perennial vegetation, but identifying those areas that can be more easily converted and overall improve farm profitability, whether it's because we're at, you know, contributing it to a livestock operation, or simply reducing the cost of inputs, whether that's nitrogen, which we all know this year especially is outrageously high, as well as those chemical inputs for managing weeds and things as well, which is also in short supply.
I can imagine, too, there might be some scenarios, and I guess I'm going to ask you if you've heard of these types of things coming up where, some of the benefits that we're talking about here of putting some of that perennial vegetation out there, not only to help your operation, but maybe a neighboring operation as well. This could be something, if you've got a lot of space to be able to provide some of that stuff, I'm sure it can be beneficial to someone else too.
Absolutely. So if you don't have livestock in your operation, but someone in your community does, it could be an opportunity to partner on that, to provide them with either grazing or forage materials and get some revenue off those acres. There's also, you know, the potential to set up some hunting leases or things like that, if you're not an avid hunter yourself and don't want to give up that property. There's also the pollinator benefits. We know that there's many different pollinators, including the monarch butterfly, that are listed as threatened or endangered. And so if we can get some more flowering plants out there, we can help them thrive as well in our state that also depends on a healthy pollinator population to grow our crops.
Yeah, I guess that ties into the profitability part of it a little bit there, too. Just having those things around are going to make things work a little bit better. But at the same time, when you're not thinking about directly what it's going to benefit maybe your operation, so to speak, it is going to help out wildlife in the area. We've had programs in place for a long time with CRP and other things that folks are doing to try to, you know, be beneficial to the surrounding environment. And maybe this is just another way to do that. And like you said, in maybe a large or a very small manner.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so sometimes there are programs out there that are suitable to helping offset the cost of establishing these sites if it's a large enough area to warrant that. But sometimes all it takes is a little bit of, if you're chemical-free, doing a little bit of tillage to make sure you're getting a good seed bed. Otherwise, frost seeding, even this time of year, could be a good opportunity to supplement perennial areas or areas that are already previously would have been row cropped and don't have competing perennial vegetation in place. So you could get that seed out there and get it established already yet this year.
You talked a little bit about what has been beneficial already, but is there any other specific types of plantings that you really will be covering here at the event?
So we're talking all perennial vegetation. We're looking and curious as to what folks are using in the area, whether it is some kind of diverse prairie mix that they've used, that it's a combination of grasses and forages, or if they're sticking primarily with a grass mix and maybe a few flowering plants in there. So we're really just kind of getting a feel for what folks are using in the area, because it does vary in what will grow well in each area, because there are mixes that thrive and where it's, I wouldn't say always wet, but, you know, tends to flood in those areas. You know, there's some specific grass species and forage species that we could put out there that would do better than maybe upland, where it's a little bit drier and their feet wouldn't get as wet.
Well, and I suppose that's where, folks like you're going to have be speaking there at the event are going to be able to answer maybe some of those direct questions. If somebody has a specific type of area that, you know, they kind of know what the conditions are, they maybe could point them in the right direction of what they're looking for.
Exactly. And we talked about, depending on what your goals for this is, if your goal is more of livestock oriented or if it's wildlife oriented, that might also impact what you choose to seed out there. And there's a lot of great resources, both locally from the NRCS as well as the Tallgrass Prairie Center, that can help provide very specific information when it comes to seeding mixes. So we're going to keep the floor open to any and all interested in looking at perennial vegetation on their farm for whatever motivation there might be.
And this is a free event open to all farmers and landowners here in the area that have an interest, but I'm sure you want them to get in touch with you ahead of time.
Yeah, thank you for that. Yes, we are offering a free lunch with this, so we do ask that folks RSVP to help us make sure we have enough food on hand. They can do so by giving me a call at 515-294-5429, or they can email us at ILF@iastate.edu. And you can find that contact information on our website at iowalearningfarms.org. Just check out our events page, and you'll get that information right there for you.
All right. Great opportunity for folks here in the area. You mentioned this is probably something you're doing all across the state. Am I correct?
Yeah, we're actually hosting four of these. And so one of them is going to be here in the Atlantic area. We've got one over in Washington, Iowa, and I'm still planning a couple others, but looking at Northeast Iowa, North Central Iowa. And so we're trying to get a wide range of areas in the state and opinions and interest in here. We're also offering attendees the opportunity to be entered into a drawing to win some Prairie Strips honey. So make sure you get your RSVP in to make sure you can qualify for that delicious honey.
All right. A little added bonus there for you. Again, that's Tuesday, February 15th, 10 to noon, and they will have that meal involved as well. So please contact ahead of time. Liz, we appreciate you taking some time to talk about the upcoming program.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for inviting me.